You are now listening to the smooth sounds of Love Atiya. Ciao, beautiful souls. My name's Atiya, and I am your future bestie in your head. I am a sex-positive animal activist. I grew up in Queens, New York, and was homeschooled slash unschooled for about 12 years. I was a virgin until I was 24 and attempted to have a hoe phase for 2 years, which eventually led me to being accidentally slash intentionally celibate. And here we are today. My past left me with a lot of wild stories, a lot of lessons, and a hell of a lot of trauma. Thank God for my wicked sense of humor, because God only knows I would have perished by now. With that being said, this is your gentle reminder that the Love Atiya experience was created as a safe space for me to reflect and share the lessons that I've learned from past traumas. Shit gets real on this podcast, and topics such as domestic violence, sexual assault, substance abuse, depression, anxiety, and suicide may be referenced. If you are working through feeling triggered by certain topics, this may not be the show for you right now, and that's okay. Healing takes time and isn't linear. I'll be here when you're ready. Now, without further ado, the Love Atiya experience is an experience. So get ready for laughs, crazy story times, and life-changing pleasure tips here on the Love Atiya Experience Podcast. You would be my boo. Hey everybody, welcome to
Where Do the Words Go?
On my pussy. Hi, beautiful souls. That's not how I wanted to start. What is wrong with me? Hi, beautiful souls. Can you guess what today's episode is going to be about? It starts with a P and ends with a Y. That's right. You got it. It's my pussy. Yeah. Today's an episode all about my pussy. I'm so excited. I'm so excited because I love her so much. Look at her. Can you see her? Look at her. Haven't shaved in a while, but it's okay. No shame, no shame. We're going to talk about that too. Today we're going to talk about my vaginal health. We're going to do a really in-depth look at some things that have caused me slight embarrassment and a lot of shame. And then we're going to verbalize them so we can destigmatize this shit so that no one can feel the way that I did. Because this was rough. I had a very rough time loving my vagina. And I know the last episode was all about vaginas. So why not make the next couple of ones about this too? Like, what else is there to talk about besides this? So I do want to start off with a catch up, and I want to thank you all. Thank you all. We have literally reached, the last time I checked, which was like last week, was 60 patrons. Oh my God. I've literally been wanting to cultivate a community on Patreon for so long since I first started. I think y'all know I started Patreon when I literally first started the podcast, and then I couldn't get subscribers. No one really gave a fuck. So I deleted it, and I was like, okay, guess we just won't be doing this. And so now, 2 years in, and I felt like it was finally time to really cultivate this community. I have a lot of people who always ask me for advice and want to connect with me, and I just don't always have the space to be able to do so. So when I can just go on Patreon and like know that this is when I'm coming home, like I'm coming to my people, it makes me feel really good. So thank you all so, so much for all of your support. It really means the world. And if you are not a patron yet, I told y'all, I opened up a free tier. So you can join me free, or you can get the tea on my Patreon by paying for one of the paid tiers. It's up to you. You're welcome regardless. All right. Now, I am going to make this episode literally be about my entire vagina. So if you don't care about that, are you all right? Are you okay? Because who doesn't care about my vagina and its journey? So my vagina and my vulva. And we're going to talk about that as well. Because, like, why the fuck, why don't we know what a vulva is? Like, why was that so hard to figure out in my lifetime? Anyways, before we dive into all of that, I do, I'm also just going to give a guide as to how I healed my vaginal stressors, I'll say, or vaginal ailments, and some things I'm doing to maintain those vaginal issues that I was having. Maintain the good health that I have now that those have been healed. While also letting you know that it is okay, because sometimes your vulva and vagina does go out of whack, and I'm gonna help you figure out ways to heal it naturally. All right, before we dive in officially, I just wanna let y'all know that I graduated! Yes, round of applause for me.
Ooh, yeah!
Slow clap, slow clap. Enough! I graduated, mind you, by the way, before I even dive into this, I have a cup of water over there, but then we're breaking into this bad boy, all right? That's what kind of episode this is gonna be. Are my nails clean? All right, close enough. So And I'm really excited. I'm really proud of myself. As a lot of you know, I was homeschooled back in the day, so I didn't get to have like a whole graduation ceremony officially. That's not true. That's a fucking lie. I literally just lied to y'all, and I'm gonna keep that in there to show how I caught myself in that lie. Because I'm living a very honest life, and I realize that there are people out there who are liars. And I think that hanging around liars has caught me in a tendency to say a lie. And unnecessarily, and then catch myself in that lie. And it's not even like I'm lying intentionally. It's like I'm like accidentally lying. Like I thought that this was the plot, but it wasn't. So anyways, I did have a graduation for when I was homeschooled, and I had 6 proms. I also had a graduation for when I got my GED, and I don't think I ever told y'all that story. If there's time at the end of this, I will literally share my GED story with y'all. It's a little bit like, I'm not embarrassed. I'm very proud of the fact that I have a GED, but the journey to get the GED was a freaking lot, and so we can dive into that. But I graduated from the School of Sex Tech, or Sex Tech School, STS. So it was an amazing journey. I probably am going to save like the whole journey for a different episode, but just know that it has really elevated my perspective as to the things that I want to do, the things that I might not want to do right now, that I thought I wanted to do immediately, and a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm just really proud of myself for finishing the course. It was a 6-week course, and I was really determined, and I was really proud of myself because those last 2 weeks I told people, like, I am going to be in my bubble, and I'm not coming out until I graduate. And I did that. So I'm really proud. I really am proud that I like stuck to my guns and really stayed focused. But no one tells you, like, I cannot imagine having graduated after being in school for 4 years and then not doing anything with my life, like regarding what I just went to school for 4 years. Like if I would have went to sex tech school for 4 years and then literally didn't do anything in the world of sex tech, I'm not saying I thought I wasted my time. I would just say that I would feel like I could have been doing something those 4 years not in this realm, which basically culminates. And this is not to shame anybody who's had those experiences, but this is just to say, like, live your fucking dreams. Like, you've gone this whole time not and so why not? Like, life is so short, the world is crumbling, why not just do whatever the fuck you want to do? Hence why, like, I, in this whole time that I've been recording this for the last like 7 minutes, I'm like, Atiyah, calm the fuck down, like, bring your energy low. Like, who feels like listening to like high energy? But this is where the fuck I'm at right now, and I'm really trying to live in this like unapologetic ass space. And I think to myself, well, is this authentic? Yes, it is. Right now I feel very theatrical, I feel very dramatic, I feel very excitable and excited. So why not, like, share that energy as I feel right now? And then maybe when I'm listening to this shit, when I'm high, smoking a joint later on, I might be like, oh, you know, this is not my vibe right now. And that's okay, because I'll come back and listen to it when I'm fucking hype. But I graduated, and I'm also really, really, really working on graduating from my imposter syndrome. So not only did I graduate with my final presentation, but I graduated with celebrating myself. Like, I literally have a cap and gown that I ordered from Amazon because I just love life like that. I like to romanticize my life. I like to make grandiose gestures for myself. Hence why it's 5 p.m. and we're about to knock out that bottle of wine after I hydrate myself with this water. But my point is that two thoughts. One, I really am trying to romanticize my life. And although I will say that graduation was a little subpar, like, it wasn't, I thought we were going to have like a ceremony. And then the teacher's like, hey, this is why we love Atiyah, and here's what we're going to help her out with. And that's okay that didn't happen, because I feel like I was celebrated throughout my entire class. So maybe that's why we didn't have like a grand celebration of graduation, but I was really proud of myself. Side note, can I share this epiphany with y'all before we even, I don't even know what the time mark is. I flipped my camera to the back so that this doesn't say tack mom. Oh, mom is a fucking palindrome, so it can be read front to back. I didn't have to reverse my camera for that, but it's okay. That says cat mom, and this says, hey, bestie. And I didn't want it to read, eeb. Yeah. So I was like, let's do the back camera, but now I don't know what time we are on this episode, so it's okay. It was totally worth it for the visuals, all right? So, I was going to tell y'all why not my family forgot about me. They said, Atiyah who, bitch? I swear, so April has, for the last 2 years, been a very like rough month for me. And that is because this is the month that my grandma transitioned to become an ancestor. What's mad funny is that I was talking to someone the other day, and I was like, yeah, my grandma transitioned like April 16th. And she was like, you mean like passed, right? And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, not, like, and I think, like, people literally think I mean, like, trans. Like, my grandma was trans. And it's not funny, but when I was getting cyberbullied by the entire country of South Africa, when I was trying to fight for the rights of lions, someone came under my post, and they were, like, people had been coming at me excessively this whole fucking time. Like, when my grandma died, people were like, bitch, you should die, too. That's basically what the comments were giving. And saying. But I remember somebody commented under one of my posts, and I was like, yeah, this happened when, like, my grandma transitioned, and they were like, oh, is she trans? And I was like, nope, like, I'm not even mad that that's what you got from this post. Like, I get it. So anyways, outside of the terminology of it all, my grandma became an ancestor 2 years ago on April 16th, and I think did I share the story with y'all? I don't think I shared the full story with y'all on my trip to New Orleans, and that was a hot, stinking, fucking mess. If I didn't tell y'all, please, y'all don't be letting me know. Like, I'm always like, oh, let me know if I told y'all this story. And then no one lets me know. Like, I can't remember if I talked about my yoni steam in my last episode. And no one let me know. Now, granted, I didn't say, tell me if I talked about my yoni steam in the last episode. But you should know me by now. If you don't know me by now. One thing I'm going to do is forget what the fuck I was just saying. And also, forget what I said in my podcast before that too. So back to my grandma. I felt like I was not supposed to be home when my grandma transitioned. So I was in New Orleans. I didn't know she was going to transition. It just happened to be like this. But just like a lot of things just went wrong during this ordeal. And I think back to how like my life was when I was like a severe people pleaser, because now I feel like I'm at an intermediate level of people pleasing, which is I can see it when I'm doing it and really working through it, right? So like if I feel like my social battery is dying, now I'm at a place to say like, okay, let's conjure up the courage to be able to say I my social battery has died and I actually don't want to really be around anyone right now. Like, don't take this personally. I just want to be alone. Trying to figure out how to say that without feeling like, it's okay, I'll just get the shakes and have this person like be in my orb for 2 months and like not tell them that I need my space. Like that is the part that I'm trying not to get to, because I feel it. Like I feel when I'm on a call with somebody and I'm ready to get off the call, like I feel my body, like it feels like my blood sugar goes low and like I've exuded everything. But I think that I also judge that sometimes because I'm like, I think that I wish for more of a capacity. And I think that sometimes when you tell someone like, oh, I don't have the capacity for this. And mind you, I have had calls these last 2 months that have lasted a range of like 30 minutes to 3 hours. So this is not to say that I didn't enjoy any of the, see, is this people pleasing? I think this is me right now in this moment trying to make people not feel bad about the long calls that I've had, because I love the calls. And what's crazy about it is now that I reflect, wow, y'all, now that I really reflect back in my mind of how many calls I've had, and they've all been about 2 to 3 hours, like, yeah, I'll have some 30-minute meetings in the interim, but, like, it's a lot. And I think the hardest part for me is these are all people that I love so much, so I want to, like, be in communication with them and all this stuff. But, and the irony is that I literally just ended or paused whatever a friendship because I didn't want to be on the phone. And now look at me, like last 2 months I've been on the phone nonstop. But I say all of this to say that like, I love the people that I'm talking to, but I think that I just know my social battery, and that's okay. So I'm trying to figure out ways to like not feel bad about ending a call or about ending a moment with somebody in person. Usually I'll kind of wait for them to end it, or I'll wait for their cues and I'm like, okay, I think I should probably go home now or whatever. But yeah, just working through that. So I said all of that to say in regards to people pleasing, damn, how do we get down this rabbit hole? We'll just have a whole episode about this. There really is a lot that I want to talk about in regards to this. But my grandma, when she passed, I felt like I had to be okay. And so I really consoled, like, I had 7 people reach out to me in total. And it's very sad that, like, I remember the number, honestly. But I had 7 people reach out to me in total. 2 people called me. And those 2 people that called me were my aunts. And both of them had, like, one had a pretty emotional breakdown. And the other one was, like, just got a little bit emotional. But I ended up, they called me to check on me. I had to break the news to one of them because they didn't know. They were just trying to get a hold of my mom. But I ended up consoling her, and then I ended up consoling my other aunt. So it was just like, all right, so that's this. And then my mom had called my friend that I was with in New Orleans and was like, hey, you know, like, I'm going to break the news to Atia, but just, you know, be gentle with her today. Just be there for her if you can, because not if you can, like, please be there for her because she's going to need it. So why does my friend call me that morning and is like, hey, have you spoken to your mom yet? And I already had a dream about my grandma. Like, I had already known that, like, the time was coming. But the thing about my grandma is she's such a Leo, right? So she would, like, rally. And we'd be like, yes, like, she's back. She's eating again. She's drinking again for, like, an hour or whatever. But it was something to give us hope. And then, yeah, it ended up not really, that decline didn't peak again. So I'm not going to tell the whole story because that's not what this episode is about. But I say all that to say that this was the 2-year anniversary of my grandma's transition. And it didn't even hit me that literally no one checked in nor cared about me until my mom came over. And she was just having a rough day, and she came home to like no internet and stuff. So she came over and she had told me that her friend had checked in on her, which made her then check in, not which made her, but then she checked in on her brother after that. I guess this all happened earlier in the day. On this day for me, it was super busy, so I didn't really get to really have like my moment with my grandma the way that I wanted to, or the way that I saw it kind of happening. I booked like 3 calls that day. It was a lot. So then after she said it, I don't know, I guess it hit her that she hadn't checked in on me. But granted, my mom literally, I know, loves me the most out of like everyone on this entire planet. Like, I don't think that there's anyone that can love me more than she does, truly and wholly and unconditionally. So I didn't wake up that morning, that afternoon, or that evening thinking like, damn, my mom didn't check in on me. That wasn't even a thought. But when she brought it up, it made me realize, well, like, shit, like, I mean, me and my mom and my uncle went through this whole journey together, and like my uncle didn't check in on me. And now that I think about it, when we had the earthquake in New York, I checked in on my aunt and my uncle, and they didn't like respond. Well, my uncle responded. My other uncle responded one time and then stopped responding. My aunt never replied. And I'm just thinking, like, my cousin's like, oh yeah, I called you. I've been calling you. But I'm like, phones have missed calls, and I have none of those from you. So it's just like this weird, I'm in this weird limbo of I've always been a little bit of the black sheep in the family. Not the black sheep, but the cousin that everybody thought, she's so perfect, she has it all together. Her parents are together. They always thought we had money for whatever reason. They always thought I got whatever I wanted. Mind you, I was the type of girl that I just told somebody, like, when my uncle would take me to go sneaker shopping once a year, I would get Reebok or K-Swiss. I would pick the cheapest fucking shoes in the Foot Locker or whatever and call it a day. So I think that I seem spoiled because I was so filled with happiness, because I was so filled with joy, but I was fucking struggling, which sucks, because then comes to the time when, like, I've told y'all this story so many times, it has scarred me, of when I'm like, oh, hey, y'all, hey, cousins, like, I'm only happy 17% of the time, and they're like, no, that's not true, and I'm like, bitch, are you in my body? So I think that navigating all of that, and truly only being checked in on by 7 out of, like, fucking 500 people in my family and friend circle, and just like people that I know and people I don't know. I've given excuses, and I've said, well, maybe they didn't know that I was like close with my grandma, you know, like, I don't know. Or maybe they didn't know that, like, my grandma basically helped raise me, like, alongside my parents. Like, that was a thing, you know? Like, when they were working, like, when they were struggling in certain areas, like, my grandma was always there to make sure that, like, we had these things covered. I'll talk more about this on Patreon. But, yeah, I feel like, I think that that's, like, the frustrating part, is that nobody realized, like, my grandma was my right-hand girl, like, and was the closest thing for me, the closest death that I've experienced besides my like friends, which were really, really still rough for me. But even in those times, I was never consoled. So it was just very interesting to navigate this. So I say all this to say, and like I said, I didn't plan, this is not in my little written outline at all, but I think that I guess my spirit wanted to share this. I think it's something that I'm alleviating from my spirit, right? Because it reminds me of when my friend was like, you know, like, I need you, or I need you to be there when I need you. And I was like, well, I don't always have the capacity for that, or I don't know, whatever my answer was. And I think about that with my uncle, like, I didn't need him on the 16th, but it would have been really fucking nice to have been checked in on, and like process emotions and stuff. I don't know. But then I'm like, when I verbalize that, I'm like, does that really fucking sound realistic? So I guess it's just the painful part for me was I feel like I'm always there for everybody else. Not always. But I feel like during like times of important dates or important days or just checking in, or, oh, you're on my heart, you're on my spirit, let me check in on you. I don't get a lot of that. So when I do, it means a lot. Like, my friend texted me the other day and was like, hey girl, I just want to see how you were doing and do it like a check-in. It's so funny though, because she always checks in on me and then never replies. But like, the initial check-in was, I appreciated that. So yeah, I'm just navigating being, I guess, like the forgotten one. When I moved out of New York, I was definitely like the forgotten one. You've heard about this. Like, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know. And it's so funny though, because as much as I say I'm the black sheep, ask my family. We are here. We see each other. When we're together, it's like nothing ever happened. But it just gives like out of sight, out of mind. Like I said, I've had other people in my family who have said similar things when they are not in mind or in sight. Like when they're literally living in other places, it just feels like we're kind of put to the side. And that's okay. Realizing what people's capacities are, I think, has been really helpful. Like, really being fucking realistic. If I barely have the capacity for folks, they can't. And even my mom, you know, because I said I fear when the time comes that I really do need somebody and there's no one there that I can look at the line of close friends and family in my life and there's no one there right now where I say, oh yeah, I know that I can throw a eye on them. My parents are really it. That's how I feel. So like, really rely on them, for real, for real. Yeah, like, I mean, I know my uncle on my dad's side, not the one that I was talking about with my grandma, that's on my mom's side, but I know he told me, like, I always have a place to stay, like, when I come to New York or whatever, and I really appreciate that. Like, he literally has, like, a room for me and I think for my other cousin. And then, like, my uncle on my mom's side, like, I know he's told me that I could always stay at the house, but y'all remember when I was trying to go to New York and I was like, my brother, you didn't make it seem like that before, but I know that everybody's just doing their best. Like, if you ask these people how much they love Atiyah, they'll say, I love Atiyah 100%. But I think that verbalizing it versus, like, Atiyah feeling the love are two totally different things. So trying to manage, like, feeling grace, not shitting on these people. They're doing their best, like, knowing that they have their own lives to live. Like I said before, like, my uncle, this is his first time really being able to live his life outside, now that my grandma has passed, but just more so now that he's kind of been freed. And yeah, I don't know, y'all. I'm just working through it. So that's where I'm at with this. How much time do we have on this? This seat is sweaty as shit. I just sat back down in it, but I didn't need to get that out. So thank y'all for listening. I think that the thing that in my head just now was like, oh, like, should I delete like what I just said about my family? But it's like, no, this is my truth. Why does everyone else get permission to live in their truth? And I'm the one that has to care about everyone's feelings, everyone's anxieties, what everyone will think, what everyone will assume, all this stuff. And I remember back in the day, I said, like, if you don't want me to have stories about you, be better. But it's not that. It's just like, if somebody had a podcast and was like, yo, this person did X, Y, and Z to me, and I knew that they were talking about me, or they felt neglected or whatever. My friend can literally make a podcast about me right now saying she felt neglected because I wasn't there for her. And all I can do is just give myself grace and ask for grace. So I feel like all of these moments happen because it's like, so what do I do, right? Do I withdraw my love from people that I genuinely love? Or do I just maybe focus more on myself and focus more on pouring that love into myself but not withdrawing the love from them? I think that that's where we're at. So if anybody else has been going through something where they feel like they're quite alone in their process of grief or just in their family or feeling like the black sheep, then this is for you. My mom said, you know, she thinks that a lot of people sometimes don't check in on me because they know that I have her and my dad. And I do think that, and I do think that, like I said, I have a face of a dolphin. They just think that I'm always okay. But I think that, it's 2024 and we are not okay. Like, everyone is simply not okay. Like, I woke up and there was another war going on, in another country now, with the same country that's in war with another country. Like, it's just, where the fuck is the peace? So yeah, as a sensitive and as an empath, I'm not okay. But it's so funny because when I watch these horoscopes and tarot readings, there's this girl, I forgot her name, but I listen to all her tarot card readings, and her readings are on point. But this month she was like, you're gonna be in pain, it's gonna be a breakthrough, you know, this, that, and third. And I was like, okay, you know, like, I feel like I'm okay, like, I'm not struggling, I feel like I'm pretty at peace, like, I'm really grateful. Like, the other night I literally went to sleep and was like, thank you. And then the pain came, finally. Like, I was like, what pain is she talking about? The pain did come, and I was able to, like, have that really refreshing conversation with my mom of, just trying to figure out how, like, what is the resolve in this? The resolve in this is I can't beg people to love me the way that I want them to love me. But I can open my heart out up to accepting new people in my life to be able to fill those places. It doesn't have to be family. Just because I was born into the same bloodline as them does not mean that those same people have to be the people that pour into me. And that's where comparison comes in, because comparison is the thief of joy. And I sit on Instagram. I used to sit on Instagram and I would watch my friends have all these family time. Shit, I would watch my family have family time and post about it. And I would have such FOMO because I'm like, why don't I deserve to feel that? Like, I always have craved that so deeply, especially because I'm an only child. So big families has always been a thing. My dad has a very big family. My mom's side of the family has dwindled down quite a bit. But, you know, and then sometimes I think about cousins on her side or on his side. And I say, oh, I should check in on so-and-so. And that small ping of petty, like, has so-and-so checked in on me, hits sometimes. And so I think that in the grand scheme of life, just talking it through now, I'm gonna live in the place of like gravitational forces. Whatever gravitational force I have going on in here is what's gonna be a gravitational force that goes on out here. And so someone can pop into my mind, but if energetically we are not on the same gravitational force, it's okay for me to protect myself and have faith that that person, that cousin, that friend will come back around at some point and check in on me when the time is right. And when I feel like our frequencies are aligned, I will check in on them. Because I think that the petty tit for tat thing, and the one thing, not one thing, but something that I did learn from my uncle was, when my grandma passed away, like I said, no one checked in on me, and I was expressing this to him, and he was like, it's painful to expect people to treat you the way that you would treat them and to act the way that other people act. Because when you start acting like how other people act, it just creates an ugly place in the world. And especially when that acting has nothing to do with me and who I am as a person. So I think that was really eye-opening for me. It was something that I struggle with still. Like, I still struggle between the realm of like petty and not reaching out versus not reaching out just for the sake of gravitational reasons. I think if I can reverse those two things in my mind, that'll be really helpful. Like, reach out to them when the frequency feels right. But if someone just pops into your mind, you don't have to reach out to them. It's okay. And letting myself off the hook. Because the people that I'm trying to reach out to are people that have not checked in on me in years. So it's totally okay. So a while ago, my friend, I love her so much. She knows who she is. She told me about her epiphany about being ain't shit. And I want to have her on the show and we can really talk about that. But really, like, letting myself be what others would consider ain't shit. Like, why do I hold myself on this pedestal that nobody else holds me on? So that's where I'm at. And the solace that I felt when it came to, like, if I felt like I that time came when I really didn't need someone or need support, I am now working on cultivating such a solid relationship with myself that it expands to all other relationships, and everything else is just extra. But to know that I have myself and that I can, like, have this solitude and alone time and joy just being here with me, I think that lights my fire, and that really excites me to see, like, in what ways can I connect with myself even more deeply, because I fucking deserve it. Like, I can be there for myself. I can show myself how to support myself mentally. I can teach myself how to support myself and love myself through my emotions and really just, like, support myself in being. So that's the journey I'm on, which leads me to my yoni, because as much as I focus on other chakras, like, I focus on my sacral chakra and reconnecting with that part of myself, I focus on my heart chakra, and I've seen that reconnection really, really expand. Focused on my throat chakra. I'm still focused on all of these chakras. Like, there are things that I want to say sometimes. Should I want to drink some water right now? Just lubricated my throat chakra. So I think that I started off this year with my root chakra, and it's one that I didn't really feel like I could relate to. The root chakra and the crown chakra are probably the two that I neglect the most, and then the third eye is the third that I neglect. And then I think that for most popular, it probably goes heart, sacral, throat, solar plexus. Sometimes it's interchangeable depending on where I'm at in my life, but we can talk more chakra things. Maybe I'll have like a chakra expert. I don't know. Is that a thing? Come on the show. But I decided to start this year off with reconnecting with my yoni and reconnecting with really just my groundedness. And like, if I think about the last time that I felt grounded, it was probably when I was in like a frenzy. I was spiraling and I was literally in Tampa Florida, obviously, and I went with the person I thought was a friend. I never told y'all this story either. I think I mentioned it before saying that I was going to tell y'all. But I went to Tampa, I had a jacked up trip, and ended up going to the beach and having a photo shoot. I had my hair dyed, I had a cute little bikini on, I felt real sexy, my titties looked good. But that was probably like the last time I felt grounded, because I was on the beach and I was just like there. Like, I just needed solitude and to be solid on solid ground. So that was probably the last time. So yeah, I felt like I just went to heal my yoni. It was about that time, especially considering she had gone through so much trauma. Trigger warning, as a lot of you know, like, I discovered, or not discovered, but I had repressed memories that came back up that I was molested when I was younger. So there was that, which is crazy how your brain will literally protect you from that. And then after that, I was assaulted twice, once by a stranger at my grandma's memorial and once by a friend a month after my grandma's memorial and a month after the other attack, or maybe 2 months. The timeline gets blurry in my head, but the freaking the same timeline. So, you know, just going from back to back and then just misusing her and abusing, allowing other people to abuse her in sexual situations. And just really, like, even when I did my yoni steam, I think I told you that there was a part where I had to write down, like, certain stories that I had, certain situations that I had experienced that I really want to let go of with my yoni steam. And there's this one guy that told y'all put 3 fingers inside of me and said he wanted to stretch me out. Exactly. But, like, I could not remember his name for the life of me. And just that alone, like, for the thought to be so traumatic that I couldn't even remember the man's name. So, yeah, and then to have, like, this long list of sexual partners, but then only one man on that list who has made me actually come. And then a woman on there that made me come, but I couldn't remember if she gave me head or not. Like, I just felt so bad for my yoni. And I tried not to beat myself up about it or judge myself, but really just get back into repairing her. So that's what I did. So this portion of the show is called New Year, New Pussy, because I started off this year with an OBGYN appointment. And now let's go back to episode 4, where I think it was episode 4, where I told y'all about my experience with BV, birth control, and my OBGYN in Atlanta. And what's so sad and scary is that I've shared this story quite a few times, and so many people have literally said that they were able to relate or had some kind of OBGYN trauma. And when I did the math, that was 2018. Now y'all know I am growing through my struggles with math. Sometimes I might add an extra number here or there, but I believe that this was 5 years ago. Like, it had been 5 years since I had an OBGYN appointment. Because then I had my most recent one in January of 2024, and I had my other one 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 22, 23, 24. So it's 6 years. I should have said 6, because I literally have 6 on here. Somebody let me know. God. Okay, but so just backtracking for anyone who might not know the story, I went to an OBGYN in 2018 in Atlanta who said that she was an integrative, holistic practitioner. It was the first year of my relationship, and we were about to try to have sex for the first time, but I knew that there were just certain things that just did not feel like they were healthy in my vulva. So I always felt like I had a small, like, not always, but I felt like I had a small smell, to be fucking honest with you. And it just didn't smell healthy. Like, it wasn't fish and it wasn't nothing. It was somewhere in between, and I didn't like that a lot. So, and this is something that I thought I was gonna put on Patreon, but I was like, why? If I feel like so many people would be able to relate to this, it's in my episode, I think, called Broken Pussy. But, so I go to this OBGYN, I'm telling her that I think I wanna be put on birth control, and I also wanted to get tested, and I also wanted to know what was going on with my just vaginal health. So many red flags occurred, but the ones that I can really vividly remember are, one, she truly she gaslit me into getting a pap smear. And I don't even want to go, I'm going to get triggered talking about how she came at me. And I just personally feel like if you're going to be in the realm of reproductive health, if you're going to be in the realm of just vaginal care as a whole, if you're going to take the whole my body, my choice thing when it comes to abortions and, like, giving birth, the same should go for whatever the fuck you want to do in your clinic. So if I had fear in regards to pap smears and wanted to know more information and do more information on my own without you throwing a whole bunch of stuff on me to try to scare me into getting a pap smear, and instead of hearing about my fears and then judging me, like, quite frankly judging me, and using fear tactics, I think that's absurd and horrible. Then she said that I asked her if she could at least use, like, a kid's speculum. Because, you know, first of all, I've been going down rabbit holes when it comes to vaginal health, when it comes to society and how they don't give a fuck about us. This book from Shop Sador, When Sex Hurts, I highly recommend it. You can use the code LOVETIA to get 15% off. And y'all already know that Shop Sador is my I love Shop Sador. It is black owned and women owned, and just customer service is superb. But they have so many educational books that I've been reading just to give myself some sex education. And so I've learned a lot about, like, there's so much OBGYN trauma that they talk about in that book, and it makes me feel so seen because I really thought I was the only one. You know, when you are in a relationship where you're getting gaslit already, then your doctor is gaslighting you, and then you begin to gaslight yourself. That's a lot. And I think I told y'all about that one oracle card reading that I had in the park when I went to paint and, I think it was paint and sit, and the girl literally told me, stop gaslighting yourself. She said a whole bunch of other shit in that, but all I heard was stop gaslighting yourself. So I think when you go to the doctor, 9 times out of 10, if you tell the OBGYN that you have an ailment in your vagina, or that something hurts, that something burns, that something stings, they'll tell you it's all in your mind. They'll tell you that that you've done something wrong. They'll try to blame you and make you feel a lot of shame. They won't always give you the straight up education that is the true education, or they'll share education with you that's been long outdated. Like, so anyways, I got gaslit into getting a pap smear, and then even with childbirth, right? Like, I recently learned that laying down on our backs is literally due to a white man's fetish. I didn't go down the full rabbit hole, so we can definitely get into that on TikTok or on Patreon or YouTube, wherever, or the here. But I do know that we're not supposed to be giving birth on our backs. Look at animals. What animal do you know that literally gives birth on its back? I will wait. Not one. Unless it walks on its back, and that's just how it exists, it's not giving birth on its back. Literally, the pressure of gravity pushes that baby out. I want to know, like, what the ratio is of moms who have birth with doulas or midwives standing up or in pools, in, like, water births and squatting, versus fucking laying on their backs. Like, what is the timeline between the births, right? Like, do people who stand up and squat have shorter birth periods than people who lay on their back? So there's a lot. So, and if I was to ever have a kid, which I highly doubt, but if I was, I would definitely do it standing up, and absolutely would not go towards modern medicine for this, but I'm just saying. Even when you go to what Dr. Jackie said, like, she is a black OBGYN in Atlanta, and what she said was very triggering. And I don't even want to misquote her, but she said some shit talking about black women are dramatic sometimes, and we can, like, hype up the pain. Girl, you are a part of the problem. You know, she's trying to come back and apologize for it, but it's out there. And if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. This is how a lot of doctors feel. This is what they teach doctors when they go to school. Like, oh, yes, that this group of women are dramatic. So, you know, people are going to say that this is happening, and it probably isn't happening. So based on how many ailments are in that book of things that can cause painful sex, and that can cause painful menstruation, painful, just any vaginal pain, vulva pain, these are things that a lot of doctors are not privy to, and you have to go to specialists. I remember somebody told me they had to go to, like, 5 different doctors before they finally found a specialist that told them what they needed to do to be able to help them with an ailment they were having with their vulva. Why do you have to go to 5 people? Why do you have to find a specialist within the specialist? The OBGYN is a specialist, so you have to find a specialist within it. Why is it so hard to take care of our vulvas? It's just a lot. So anyways, the final straw for me at that OBGYN appointment in Atlanta was that, one, she stuck her finger inside of me, pulled it out, and said, smell this. And then literally had me smell her fingers, and then was like, it's not supposed to smell like this. Duh, bitch, that's why I'm here. I literally am here because I know that, ho. You stupid, oh my God, like, what the fuck? I literally have shared this story with people before, and they've said I should have sued her. They said, like, this is, that's literally, like, a HIPAA violation or something. You're not supposed to stick your fingers in somebody and then make them smell your fingers and say, this is not how you're supposed to smell. I fucking know that. So she's like, oh, yeah, you're supposed to smell like mushrooms. You're supposed to smell like mushrooms. And then whenever I bring it up to other people, they're always like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, that's what the fuck she told me. So granted, I get what the fuck she was trying to say. I get it. But not, it was the source that it came from, right? Because I don't know if anybody's ever smelled a mushroom, but they actually don't have a smell. Like, mushrooms smell bad in, like, feet and, like, fungus or whatever the fuck when they go bad. But if you smell a mushroom, it just smells earthy. Like, it literally smells like, oh, fucking flesh. It smells like fucking wet flesh. Like, I don't know. So I get what she was trying to say, but I've learned that just with OBGYNs, with doctors as a whole, you take what you can and you leave the rest, because sometimes it is not always on the same page. But what I didn't know, so for those of you who are now learning this as well, is that integrative medicine means that you are doing a bit of both. You have some holistic practices, but you also have some just regular Western practices, and that you might lean more towards one, like chickadee over there, than the other. So there's that. I didn't even tell y'all about the time, I think I said it in the other episode, but where I literally had to pay $800 for an OBGYN exam when I was a virgin. And I think that this one with old girl might have been $600, if I'm not mistaken. Because I was 16 when I got my first OBGYN appointment. I didn't end up having to pay the full $800 because I think that I was able to, like, say, like, I don't have enough money for, like, I didn't make enough income for this. And then they, like, just defaulted it or whatever. It, like, it didn't go to collections or anything. Like, they just didn't take it. It was, like, for labs and stuff. But yeah, homegirl, I don't even think she tested me for STIs. I swear, I don't. After she shoved her finger in me and shit, when we did the pap smear, I asked her if she could use a baby speculum on me to, like, open me up. Even though, if you know vaginas, you know. Anyways, she claims that she used the smallest one she had, like, for kids. Allegedly, it did not feel like that. And then last but not least, she said that she assumed that I had BV, and that if I said, well, I want to do, like, the more natural route. She's like, well, you could just take metronidazole or whatever. And I was like, well, I want to do the more natural route. And she said, well, then, you know, I mean, you could do a natural route, but it would take you 6 months longer than it would if you would have just taken these pills or whatever. Okay, bitch. But like I said, my body, my choice, I want to take the natural route. So we ended up finding, I guess, like, an in-between route. Because honestly, I don't think that boric acid is all that natural. Maybe it is. I know that some acids can be, I guess, like, naturally occurring, but I don't know, y'all. Just the fact that it kills roaches, we're gonna get to that. So she prescribed me with, I think, like, 12 days worth of boric acid, and that was it. And like I said, I paid, like, a shitload of money, and then she put me on the pill. I don't even know if she gave me the range of options that I had. And I think that she gave me, like, an experimental dose, as all the birth control is literally just an experiment. I just want everyone to be very, very clear about that. And it's a very new experiment, by the way. But yeah, that was basically the sum of the trauma. If I forgot any details, I probably had them in the Broken Pussy episodes. You can tune into that. But I give y'all this background because I had a new OBGYN experience after 6 years, or five to six years of not going to the OBGYN. But can you imagine what an existence that was? Like, being sexually active for those 5 years, well, for three of those 5 years, and then not checking in on anything. Now, granted, you know, I would get tested, but I would get tested at, like, the centers where you get tested. I'm not going to the OBGYN because I'm traumatized. So I just want to give this testimonial of my positive OBGYN experience while also being very, very real with y'all, because there are still things that I learned from this experience, and I just have to keep this in mind. But I'm taking a water break, and then we're gonna come back. Hey, did y'all know that I had a vegan and cruelty-free hair and skincare company called Ethereal by Lovetia, and I have literally healed my skin's wounds with my own handmade products. They're all made with love, they're 100% natural, and I have a whole entire line of products. I have, like, my rose water hydrating love mist, I have my illuminating healing serum, and I send out love notes and free self-care tips monthly. So if you sign up for my email list on lovetia.com, you will be able to not only get coupons and shop for my self-care company, but you will also be able to get those free tips and those love notes. So what are you waiting for? Why am I bending over like this? Head to lovetia.com and support my Black-owned business today. We are all about self-care, self-repair and self-healing. And Ethereal by Levitia is a self-love company. So yeah, check me out. Love ya. All right, so we are back with the story time, but I did want to go back to the other story before I dive into this fresh new. I want to give the junk and then give this brand new perspective. So I know I touched on birth control, but I just want to say, we are going to do something on Patreon where we do like a watch party. I don't know how I'm gonna make it happen, but I'm gonna make it happen. And there's a show called Sex Explained or Explained Sex on Netflix. 10 out of 10 recommend that you watch it. But watch the episode about birth control, because they literally talk about how in Puerto Rico, when birth control first came out, they went and gave out all this free birth control to women. Ended up sterilizing a majority of the women that they gave the birth control to. The dosages were freaking insanity. Like the doses that they were giving to these women were, what is like times 10? Like not quadruple, it's like times 10 of what we take now, they gave that. So just knowing that they were literally actively using people as guinea pigs is insane to me. And I don't know if I mentioned this in my other episode, I actually might have in regards to tampons, but I wanted to get to that too. But for birth control, I don't think that anybody recognizes, especially when you're on the pill, and this is something that made me pissed about my OBGYN experience. The first one was that when you are on the pill is a synthetic hormone. But why is no one talking about what that synthetic hormone is? People just say, oh, the birth control, the pill is a synthetic hormone. And then we just like take it. Why are we not asking questions? Like, why are we not like, what? And I'm in that we too. I am in that we, because when I had my birth control, I wasn't asking questions. That's why I wanted to fucking kill myself and kill other people too. So I think that where we can find power in situations like this is asking questions, really. My friend just got an IUD and they said that it was the most painful experience that they'd ever been through. Why do we have to put our bodies through this? Like, if anything, I considered possibly if I ever was gonna get on birth control again, because I was on birth control for either a week, maybe a week and a half. I remember I was profusely bleeding, like profusely. I was extremely nauseous. I was so depressed. I've never been depressed to the point where like the entire world seemed black around me. Like, I remember laying on the bed and I think my ex was playing video games and I just wanted to like, I wanted to do some really bad things, like to myself, to just everything, to everything. It was not a good time for me. And I remember it was so bad to where I was like a mental patient and he had to take me around a walk around the building because I was like that bad. I only wish we were in contact to ask him that one thing. Like, do you remember? Because it was a little bit blurry to me because of the state I was in. But, like, do you remember? That was the one time where I felt like he genuinely cared about me. That, and it's probably, like, one other time where I felt, oh, when I shared my virginity with him. But, like, otherwise, no. But, yeah, like, I remember we sat on this bench outside in the hallway and we were talking about it. And I was like, I'm not okay. Like, I can't. Like, I need this out of my body. And so, you know, there are people who get stuff pumped into them every day. Some people are on 6 to 7 medications and that's just their life and that's how they not want to live, but that's how they live. But as someone who is fairly naturalista, like I can barely pop a Tylenol, it just affected me really differently. And I'm grateful that I was able to be so in tune with my body that I knew like, okay, I'm bleeding out because of this. I'm depressed because of this. I'm suicidal because of this. But some people don't always have that. Some people are depressed for decades. And they don't know it was because of their birth control. There's another birth control that came out. It was called the Shield, I think. Dolkin Shield or something like that. They gave it to a whole bunch of women in Africa. A whole bunch of women died. There was a woman in America, a black woman, that was in a coma. I want to say for like months, but I don't know for how long. And so she went, after she got out of the coma and realized that it was because of her Dolkin Shield, it's because of the way that they had the string braided, you know, the string to pull the tampon out. It wasn't a tampon though, but it was some form of a shield of some sort. But the string was like a centimeter too thick, so it would collect bacteria, and then that bacteria turned into deadly bacteria. It was like literally like having like blood infections and all this stuff on people. So as a person with a vulva, you just really have to make sure that you take your own health into your own hands. And just because someone is a woman doesn't mean that they have your best interest at heart. So I just want to make sure I said that. And yes, HPV is a thing. Yes, HPV does go undetected in men, but it's like, why? Like, why have you not figured that out instead of shoving some fucking plastic in my vulva or metal, whatever it is, every day? I think he had a plastic one, which is once again, like, okay. My thing is, like, why are these things, like, not silicone? You have medical-grade silicone. We know that it's easier on the fucking flesh. We know that it's not as susceptible to bacteria as, say, plastic and all these other porous substances are. But yet we still continue to use fucking sterling silver and metal and plastic? Okay. And then for boric acid, which she prescribed me on, which didn't do anything because, as we later found out, in my new OBGYN, I had a UTI and a BV, and they would feed each other. So even if I got rid of the UTI, the BV would still be there. If I got rid of the BV, the UTI would still be there. I have another story about that, but I'm going to post that one on Patreon. But I will just give a glimpse of the story and say, like, I do remember my ex used to, like, make comments. Now, he was not always the most hygienically sound person to be making these comments, because check your armpits. But I will say that I don't think that he was tripping all the time. Like, I think that there really was something going down there. I think that the stress being cheated on, first of all, when you're physically cheated on, your body goes through the motions of being physically cheated on. Your pH is thrown off, all that stuff, right? So being cheated on. When I met him, I was still coming down from the last stressful experiences that we had. I don't even want to call it dead. I don't even know what the fuck we were doing in 2017, but we were doing something. So there was that turmoil that I had never healed from. I was outside. Like, I was fucking around. I mean, I was getting fingered and stuff like that. And people were eating me out. This boy ate me out for 2 hours. You can't tell me that didn't give me some type of BV or something. So So as much as, like, I want to say he wasn't shit for the way that he brought it to my attention, I'll share that story on Patreon. Feel free to join me on there for it. But he was, let me make sure I make a note. Patreon. Okay. But and we were just mean to each other, right? So, like, when I say, like, check your armpits, like, we were mean. Like, we were, first of all, he was, let me shut up, Atiyah, that's so bad. Like, that's, like, not even what you can say verbally to be socially accepted. But he knows it. This is the same person that also, anyway, God, I'm trying not to be petty. He left shit in my toilet after he fucking cheated on me. How are you so nervous that you take a watery shit in my toilet? I've shared this before, so it's not new information. But anyways, so I went through hell and back. So I'm not surprised that my vagina was out of whack. And in these tips that I'm going to tell y'all to end off the episode, are ways to keep your vagina intact. But there were certain things like cotton panties. I wasn't wearing cotton panties every day. I simply wasn't. I was wearing Victoria's Secret, which are not 100% cotton. When they have their cotton panty sales, they are not always 100% cotton panties. Sometimes the lining is like fucking, oh my God, it starts with a P. I can't think of it right now, but it's not breathable. So if your panties are not breathable material, it's simply going to be sweat and bacteria that just gets all soaked up in there and then just gets recycled and regenerated into your vulva. So there's that. I just think that's an important little tip. But my honus was deleted January 5th. I was really grateful. I will say that if you are booking an OBGYN appointment, keep track of your period. Because I actually think that although it was supposed to be January 5th, I think I had to move it. I had to move it because I was spotting. Like, I was on the end of my period. But it still was like, I don't think that I should necessarily be going while I'm spotting. So just make sure you pay attention to that. I do use a period tracker. If they want to sponsor me, maybe I'll shout them out. But we'll see. Okay, so then what she had me come in. First of all, her appointment was set up through an app, so I didn't get to, like, talk to anybody, which was, like, a little bit nerve-wracking for me, but I realized this is how we do it in Mexico. So I went to her office, it was in a hospital. Now, granted, I think a lot of you know, if you know me, that I have a slight phobia of hospitals because of my emetophobia and fear of throwing up. So that was nerve-wracking for me, y'all. But when I tell you that this hospital is by far the cleanest, most quiet hospital that I'm like, is this the main hospital? cleanest, most quiet hospital I've ever been to. Like, I've been there twice so far, and each time it just gets, like, better and better. So I go to the front desk. I ask them where to go. They send me upstairs. I meet her receptionist. She's super sweet. She has me waiting for maybe, like, 15 minutes. So I'm blasting music, though. First of all, my nerves. And second of all, I realize that I'm on the pediatrician ward. But I was just so nervous about still vomit that you just never know what you're going to hear. I don't know. It just really, really, really messes my nervous system up. So I ended up putting on some pretty loud music. So I get called into her office, and she introduces herself. She's really sweet. I think she asked me, like, where I was from, got to know me, and had asked me, like, you know, what I was there for that day. So I came, y'all already know I love me a list. I love me a list. So I came in with a little list, and I was like, well, it hurts when I masturbate. Like, literally, when I masturbate, I think I figured this part out, but it's just like my muscles just tense before. So it's like when I get aroused, when I know I'm about to masturbate, I'll feel pain. But then when I'm masturbating, I won't feel it. Unless I start masturbating at the time where the pain is there. It's very weird. It's like a pain. It's very weird. Not weird. I don't want to say it's weird, but it's very interesting. I also told her that I thought I might have BV. And then I also told her that I had like a little fleshy lump. Like I looked at my, I think I told y'all on TikTok, like, look at your vagina. And I told y'all, when I tell you to do this stuff, I want to do it. So I looked at my vagina and I saw like a little fleshy bump. Only to find out, I think that was like quite literally just my actual vagina. But so when it get checked out, and that was like what really drove me. Like when I saw the bump, I said, oh no, it's time. The time has come. So I was really nervous about that. And yeah, I think that those are like my main focuses. So before she even examined like what I had, and when I told her just some of the symptoms of what I had, I think that that's when she said that she thought that I had a UTI and BV and how they feed each other. But she could have also said this to me after she checked me out, I'm not sure. So she literally let me, like, held the floor for me to ask her any questions that I needed to, and I really appreciated that. The one thing that I will say that I would have rather changed about this experience, that's what it was. Another thing I was nervous about that I expressed to her was, when I do have sex, sometimes it hurts or it feels like just so tight. Like when I put in a tampon, it feels very tight. Like when I pull out I almost didn't get a tampon out of me the other day, which was, that was eye opening. So she said to me, and I don't necessarily agree with this part. I do, but I don't, right? I think that there is an underlying issue, but she said, when you think of your vaginal entrance, it's a small orifice, right? And then you have something to go inside that orifice. It's something new. It's something foreign. So your body just kind of is getting adjusted to that. So of course, it's going to feel a little bit uncomfortable at first. And I know uncomfortable, and I get that. But on the grand scheme of things, I don't necessarily feel like that's what we should necessarily be feeding into my mind. I think that I learned that this was not true once I started shallowing. And I told y'all about shallowing, putting a toy or your fingers or your tongue or somebody's tongue or a penis in the very, very beginning of your vaginal entrance and then pulling out. That I learned that sex should feel pleasurable at all times because of shallowing. And so this was after my OBGYN appointment. So I think that although I get where she was coming from, and yes, you do need to do a lot to be able to make that orifice, you know, like expand and get warm and gooey and ready for it, for whatever's about to enter it. I don't think that I should just expect uncomfortability. So that was one thing that I definitely will say kind of threw me off a bit. But otherwise, I felt like she definitely like heard me, and I felt very seen. So she gently told me that I can go into her bathroom. I put on the little robe. I took off the robe. I mean, I didn't take off the robe. I took off my clothes, came back out, and then laid on the chair. And then she had me put my legs up, which, like I said, I told y'all, like, not my favorite thing to do because I know, like, where that derives from, but I did it. And then I put my legs on in the stirrups, and she literally, first of all, we just talked. Like, she was like, so, like, what part of New York are you from? And she's like, she's from Mexico City, and she told me about all the great things to do in Mexico City, and she talked about her husband and all this stuff, and how they visited New York one time, and how they love the winter and all that stuff. So that was really cool. So after she got to know me a little bit, she told me step by step every single thing that she was doing, right? Or even as we were talking, like we were literally talking as she's doing the appointment, so that was really dope. She did the pap smear first, And I think that she said she was going to use... Did she say she was going to use a smaller one on me? I don't remember, but I do remember her saying, like, she verbally walked me through each step, which was very, very helpful. But the pap smear was extremely painful. And, like, not uncomfortable, it was painful. And she said, like, this doesn't feel good for anybody. And once again, that was one thing that was just like, right, but why? Like, but why? Why is this not... Why? And she put a whole bunch of lube on everything that she used to make sure that nothing was going in me dry, but still it was rough. She did not make me smell any of her fingers, which was great. And what I thought was very interesting was that she did an ultrasound. And I've never had that done before. Wait till y'all hear how much this freaking exam was. She gave me an ultrasound and she checked my ovaries and my cervix. Right? Yeah, she checked my ovaries and my cervix. She said both of those were good. And then the pap smear was to check for HPV. And then she did like the vaginal, like just exam to make sure that everything looked okay. So yeah, she said that she did see swelling, which is why she felt like that's where the UTI came from. So yeah, she just really was very, very much so like gave me step by step, and I really appreciated her transparency on everything she was doing because it really calmed my nerves. And she ended it with a breast exam, which I really appreciated. And she was very gentle. I didn't feel violated or anything like that. So the only thing was I did go in there requesting to get tested and I didn't get tested, but I was very grateful for this entire experience. So she did end up prescribing me to 3 pills and to a suppository. Later on, I did find out that suppository was actually metronidazole. And the 3 pills, one of them was a cranberry pill, and then the other 2, I'm not sure. But I do know that, like, there are some people who have said they've had reoccurring VV, and so they've been, they've continuously done metronidazole, and I'm like, but if that doesn't work for you, then why would you keep doing the same thing? And the same goes for boric acid, right? Like, I posted a video about boric acid the other day, and it went viral, and everybody was saying, yeah, girl, I use it after my period, I use it after I have sex, all this stuff, but it's like, but why do you need to use it after all of these times? Like, if it does the job, you shouldn't have to keep using it over and over again, and it shouldn't be your, like, main refresher. So we'll get to that. But after getting my pap smear, after getting the ultrasound of my ovaries and my cervix, after getting the vaginal exam, having the talk with my OBGYN, before all of this, my total for my entire exam came out to 900 pesos, which I want to say is about 60 something pesos. So you mean to tell me that when I was a virgin, I paid almost, well, they charged me $800 in the US. And then I think, like I said, this last appointment for the OBGYN that made me smell her fingers charged me, I think, $600 in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. I think I just paid it off slowly. I swear to God, I think it was $600 because I remember these digits. It's hard to forget. But, or maybe it was $600 for the New York one. I don't know, but I know that it was a lot for both of them, but it definitely wasn't those $60, and a pleasurable experience, and she was just so kind and sent a follow-up afterwards. So yeah, I just really appreciate it. She also told me some ways to prevent BV, UTIs, these things, so I'm going to read off to you some of the ways that I've been preventing my BV, my UTI. I'm telling y'all, like, I didn't know that my vulva could not, I didn't know that my vulva could not be in a state of turmoil. Does that make sense? Like, I didn't know that my vulva would ever be this healthy. I didn't even know how unhealthy my vulva was until I've had a healthy vulva. And I didn't realize how many things my vulva not being healthy prohibited me from, right? Like, sitting with my legs open. You would think that that's just something that people just do, right? But with me, like, I would always sit with my legs open and be like, okay, like, all right, I'm good, but I don't smell anything. Or going to use the bathroom and then like smelling my discharge every time to make sure like, okay, this smells fine. Like, this is good. Going to lick my fucking pussy every time I'm about to go like be intimate with somebody. Then I make sure I'm not too salty or not tasting like anything, whatever. Getting oral sex. I would literally block out the experiences of oral sex that I would have because I would dissociate so hard because I simply couldn't be in the moment because I was so worried about how I smelled down there. And if somebody would give me oral and then come back up and I would like smell their face, I'd be like, okay, like, okay, is this how, is this smell okay? Like, is this how all the pussies that they fucked with smelled like? Like, you know, I just was always scared, so scared, because I just always had this thing in my head. Granted, I know that my vulva did not smell my entire life, right? Like, I know that when I was younger, I used to wear really tight pants. I used to wear fucking polyester panties. Like, I would do things that wouldn't necessarily, I know I've had yeast infections before when I was on antibiotics, but I would just do these temporary fixes, right? So it's so crazy because even now that I've healed my UTI, like my grandma used to get UTIs all the time and they would really fuck with her brain. And a lot of women, especially older women, struggle with UTIs in their lifetime. But it does, like, UTIs can affect you neurologically. They can make you angry, aggressive, agitated. It's a lot. And I just didn't, I had a mild version of BV, which is, by the way, bacterial vaginosis, and a mild version of a UTI. So, like, the burning when I pee, I didn't experience that. And I know that when you look up UTI, sometimes they say that that will happen. But, like, the discharge, like, I don't have constant discharge anymore. And I remember I went somewhere and one of my friends had asked a question. It was like a seminar for vulvas, and she had asked, like, are you supposed to have discharge every day? And I wondered the same thing, because I have discharge every day. Like, I had discharge every day ever since I had, like, done this new approach of, like, healing myself from everything the OBGYN recommended, which was in Spanish. I didn't have discharge every day. That was in January. We are in April right now, and I still, my vulva is still literally healthy, and I'm so grateful about that. So let's dive into all the ways that I've been able to keep my vulva healthy. All right, let me get set up. All right, so first things first on my list is the yoni steam, which was really, really the most amazing, beautiful, spiritual experience that I've had regarding my yoni probably ever. I can't really think of a time where I've connected with my yoni in that way before. But I do talk about the yoni steam in my last episode. I think it's like the episode about my vagina, I think is the title of it or something like that. So check that out if you want to hear about the full experience. But basically, I was able to connect with my yoni, with my inner child, and with my younger yoni. My young yoni. She got attention. That makes my heart so happy. There's this sound. Y'all hear it? I had to put a pause on recording earlier because y'all probably don't even hear it. I've learned, like, my friend was over my house the other day. And I was like, do you hear that noise? And she was like, no. And I was like, girl, it's literally like a screaming, blaring, like, ugh. I'm like, why do you not hear it? And then I realized, like, I'm a sensitive, I'm autistic, so sounds like this sound loud as shit to me. So I'm gonna take a pause here and then we'll come back once it's done. Let's drink some freaking wine. Woo! I think it's been around for a while, let's see. Okay. I see what you, Woo! Is wine supposed to be sour? Oh my God, okay. Well, the sound's still here, so we're gonna take a break. All right, so I feel like the yoni steam was really helpful for me because it definitely helped me reconnect not only with my present self, but with my past self. Especially taking me back to a time when I was just able to remember what life felt like without shame. And even when I think about it though, I'm like, very interesting that the time that I reconnected with was not a time before the trauma happened. It was after the trauma happened, from what I can remember in my timeline of things. I think, maybe my timeline is correct. I do not remember. That's the hard part about repressed memories, right? They get repressed. So there's that. But I felt like the yoni steam has really helped me reconnect with my body physically, and that was very, very helpful. Next up was I ordered a pair of cotton panties for myself. Not a pair, because that's two, but I ordered multiple cotton panties for myself. Ironically, when my grandma passed, she had like a pack of like 7 cotton panties that were literally unused and fit me. I'm like, grandma, not you trying to help me with my yoni health from the other realm. So I was wearing those, but that's 7. And yes, there are 7 days of the week, but sometimes I like to wear multiple panties in a day. I don't know. I don't, but who am I, Ice Spice? But I do want to get back to this, that several panties thing, because it's something that my OBGYN said. But yeah, I literally see the difference with the cotton panties. Now, I do have some like fancy panties that I'll wear sometimes, that I won't wear them for the whole day. But 9 times out of 10, I'm wearing the cotton panties. Now, it's important to remember, like, for instance, where I got mine from, it said 5% elastic, 95% cotton, which is fine. Yes, of course, the band's probably going to be elastic. That's why it's not like drawstring panties, which, that's kind of cool. But it is important to make sure that the elastic and whatever, if there's another fiber in there or any other type of fabric that is being used in your panties, it's not being used in places where you sweat, which is literally your whole vulva. So it should be cotton. The whole panty should be cotton. Because my OBGYN said that a lot of women in Mexico get yeast infections. That was really, like, out of all things, yeast infections. And she said it's usually a majority because they sweat so much that, like, she'll have to change her panties in the car because it's always so hot. She carries an extra pair of panties with her around. And it's so crazy. I remember Ice Spice was like, yeah, like, I have an extra pair of panties because my pussy's so wet. And everybody was like, what? I was like, what? Now, I think she was trying to flex. And I'm like, why is your pussy constantly wet? But we're not shaming you. We're just really wondering, like, why is your pussy constantly wet? But I still have to say, I do think that it is cool to be able to keep another pair of panties in your bag, especially if you're on your cycle, about to get your cycle or whatever, when your bacteria is changing up down there, whatever. But cotton panties always, no matter what. I remember I got this, like, 10-pack from Walmart, and they claimed that they were, like, some type of microfiber, wasn't cotton. And I rocked those for, I want to say, the years that I was in my relationship. Of course, you know, a couple of cute panties here and there. But, yeah, no, you want cotton panties to breathe and to not accumulate a whole bunch of extra stuff down there. And when you have breathable panties, you're not sweating as much. Or it's not collecting as much sweat. But if you are a sweater down there, just get another pair of panties. It's okay. If you're constantly wet down there, like Ice Spice said she was, then it might be an underlying issue there. All right, so far we talked about the yoni steam, which helped us get connected to our yoni spiritually. And then we talked about the cotton panties, which were like an external way to help keep our yoni and vulva healthy. But there's something that I use on the daily that I really want to put y'all onto. And it's a real testament because I used this the other day when I got off my cycle. And normally I would use boric acid because I would just be nervous about possibly having like BV after my cycle. Or I don't know. I just used to be hyper paranoid. But I told y'all that I really put the boric acid to the side because it'd be killing roaches. So I'm going to introduce you to my bestie. And it's like quite literally become my bestie these days. And this is That's Besties. And these are vegan and cruelty-free wipes that you can use all over your body, on your face, and on your vulva. Okay, so let's just dive into it and why I love the Besties brand so much. First things first, packaging, biodegradable. And you're going to see the actual wipes in a second, which are biodegradable too. But have you ever gone over to a friend's house and they have wipes out, but like they give crunch? Like it's a pack of wipes, but like there's like a crack in the seal or something, so the wipes dry out. So we're already solving that because these are individually packaged. Like, so that's one. Second of all, I love when products are actually created to help keep something healthy as opposed to making something worse. So these are literally the first pre and probiotic wipes on the market, black owned and woman owned. So you know they were created with a person with a vulva for people with vulvas. And they only have 10 ingredients, and their four key ingredients are aloe vera, oats, purified water, and then the pre and the probiotic. So to me, I mean, there are so many brands out there that have wipes. Those wipes have fragrance. These are fragrance-free. They have alcohol. First of all, a lot of fragrances on the market are legitimately toxic. Like, I don't know of a lot of natural fragrances besides, like, essential oils and stuff like that. So be careful when you're using stuff with fragrance in it, because not only is it messing up your pH, but it can also affect your endocrine system and a lot of other things hormonally. So that's just something to keep in mind. But a lot of these brands have, like, 25, 30, 35 ingredients in their wipes, and it's like, it's a wipe. Like, yeah. Besties likes to talk about what they don't put in their stuff, which I love. So it's alcohol free, it's sulfate free, it's paraben free, glycerin free, cruelty free. There's a word though that I can never remember. Phenoxythenol. Free. It's free of that. So that's very helpful. But I love their writings on the back. So first of all, I got that water and do. But it says individually wrapped, and also I think, did I mention these are flushable? Like, how much better can we really get? Like, for me to make, to use That's Besties as my first wipes, and then to be so passionate that I'm telling y'all about it, it's a big deal. Like I said, I've always wanted to be a wipes girly. But, okay, so on the back, they have directions, and it says, don't trip, we've got you covered, safe for full body use and for singular use only. Those are two different things, safe for full body use, but then they're also safe for singular, they're for singular use only. Single use, if I just read the word in the back, that'd be helpful. And it says, don't put inside any holes, external use only, which is very helpful. And it says, oh, and don't forget to wipe from front to back. And we love that. We love anything regarding education, because we think, oh, everybody knows this. Everybody doesn't. So that's very important. And then it says, hey, bestie, glad to finally be in each other's lives. It is past overdue. And finally, the struggle is over. Here's how we understood the assignment, period. First, we are plant-based. We are created with purified water, eco, and vagina besties friendly, hypoallergenic, fragrance-free, alcohol-free, paraben-free, sulfate-free, glycerin-free, phenoxyphenol-free, bleach, and chlorine-free. And that's really all I have to say. Like, is it not clear? It's almost like when you see a sex toy, right? And then you look to see, like, who the CEO is, and it's a man. And it's like, how'd you make this sex toy for a woman? How'd you know what we needed? But for this to literally be like, for the creator of That's Bestie's Wipes, their origin story is on the bottom of their packaging. But you can just tell that they really care about the people that they're serving. And I've been using these daily. But my testimonial is that I used it when I finished with my cycle. And normally I'm really jacked up after that. I know for a fact that I used to be like, no, like I can't do anything with anybody because I'm gonna like possibly smell like copper. I don't know, like that was a thing. But Besties literally has made me feel so confident, and like I've been able to maintain my health, my vaginal health, so much quicker and easier. And like this last cycle that I had was just so, oh, what is the word? I felt so clean. Like I felt really, really clean. And the wipes are so big. I'll show you what the wipes look like. Maybe that may, I don't know what like a generic size of a wipe is, but I personally feel like it's a really good size for a wipe. I want my bestie to be right here. Did I mention that the owner of That's Besties calls your vulva bestie? Like your vulva is your bestie. Like her vulva is her bestie. And I love that so much, because it's like there's always such a disconnect to people with vulvas and their vulva. A majority of us didn't even know to call them vulvas. Me, I didn't know that for a really long time. So, I mean, you know, we have vaginas too, but the vaginas are on our vulvas. Anyways, this is the wipe. I'm about to literally go use it now because I need a refresh. But the other day I went to a dance class and I literally wiped my body with my That's Besties wipe, because I had just come from the beach, and so I had like sand all over my body. I was a little sticky, so I wiped my body down. Then I opened up another one, wiped my vulva down, and I went back to that dance class feeling fresh as hell. So 10 out of 10 recommend. Yeah, like I have no complaints. The individual packs, I keep them with me all the time. If I had a sneaky link, I would keep it with me when I go to see my sneaky link. Like, it's that real. I love it so much. And they're cool. They're cool to touch. Like, they're cool in my hand. I love it. Zero bad ingredients. Yeah, like, I absolutely recommend. And I love them so much that you can actually use the code LOVEITTIA to get 10% off for a limited time only. So be sure to support. But yeah, I love them. Love them, love them, love them. I just purchased my other pack. These were shipped from the States to Mexico. So don't judge me. But I'm a little bit addicted, so check out That's Best. Did you hear that? Oh my god! Let me wipe my leg with my wipe. Like, I was so aggressive. Check out thatsbesties.com. My all-time favorite wipes. Like I said, I live for them, and I've been using them daily since my OBGYN appointment, and absolutely love them, and they make me feel so confident. So that's another tool that you can use on the daily to just help stay refreshed, as opposed to using, say, boric acid or something like that. This is literally as natural as you can get. This is as natural as you can get. So That's Besties. Let's see what's next on the list for my tips, because I don't remember, and my sheet's all the way over there. All right, next on the list is something that you can ingest internally, and that is drinking water. It's that easy or that simple, but it's really not all that easy, because if you know me, you know that your girl has been dehydrated a couple of times, and I actually was dehydrated when I was born. My mom was dehydrated when she had me, and then I went to the hospital for dehydration after that. I was a little baby in a little hospital. So yeah, I see that following me now in my life. So just trying to stay hydrated. Also, what you eat is very important. So like I said, we did the physical aspect of taking care of our yonis with the That's Besties wipes. We have the spiritual aspect with the yoni steam. We have the cotton panties, which is the preventative measure. But I think the water and the and what you ingest means a lot. And also eating better. So eating lots of fruits, lots of vegetables. My diet has definitely changed because I've stopped shopping at generic stores like Walmart. We have like a place called Chedwari down here. So Chedwari. And instead I shop at like the fruiterias now. I might get like a couple of things from Chedwari, but the fruiteria is really my spot. And I got like, I don't know how many things the other day for $12. And if I would have been in the States getting that, or even in Chedwari getting that fruit and vegetables, it would have been a lot more. So fruiteries are eight if you have access to one, or like a farmer's market. If you are in the States, normally you can get fresh fruit from somewhere. Might have to go out your way a little bit more than us just walking around the corner for ours, but still, it's worth it for your yoni health. So 10 out of 10 recommend that, but that's like the internal way that you can take care of your yoni. And then with water, I was also told by the young woman that gave me the yoni steam to also make sure that I add lemon in my water. I've also been told to add key limes in my water as well, so I'm just gonna do an interchanging of both and see how that goes. And also, I know kombucha helps with the internal aspects of keeping your pH balanced, because one thing that people don't talk about enough is people think, oh, if you get BV or if you get a yeast infection, you're dirty. No, 9 times out of 10, it's actually probably a gut thing or it's something internal that's happening within you, but your pH can definitely get thrown off by good and bad bacteria in your gut. So just remember that little tidbit. What else? Check, check, check. Oh, we're also doing minimal tampon use. Like the other day I had to use a tampon because I had class, dance class to take, but like I hadn't used it the rest of my cycle after that. So also making sure that if you do have to use a tampon, change some shits out as much as you can, because it's just not good to have just stale blood that's supposed to be out of your body sitting right here, like in your what, uterus or whatever. So yeah, make sure that you can limit your tampon use if possible. And if you are using pads, then change your pads frequently. You know, they give you an hour, or they give you hours or time periods of when you should change your pads, but trust your gut, you'll know best. But if I just start feeling like, ooh, I gotta change my pads. So that's really important. And I will say that I definitely feel like this is gonna sound crazy, but I'm just being honest, like I let poverty like get to me in that way of like feeling like pads were so fucking expensive in the States. Now here, they're like $4 for 15. So I can freaking afford to change my pads as much as I wanted to. And I know this sounds insane, but it's truly something that I went through. Like I used to not change them as often because I could not afford fucking more pads. Like it's that simple. That's just my truth. I'm gonna have to live with that. I mean, I'm still alive, but I think that definitely took a toll on my freaking vaginal health. So that's a note. And if you want to act like you've never done that before, you've never kept a pad on for longer than you were supposed to because you were trying to fucking not, I would try to change them in intervals. Like, okay, I have a fresh one in the morning, a fresh one in the afternoon, a fresh one at night. Sometimes you need more than that. Like sometimes you literally, especially on those heavy days, like you can afford to fucking use an extra pad or so. So with that being said, although what I said wasn't as graceful, my final tip on here was giving my yoni grace, and giving myself grace. Because this is my first time being a woman in this body, and we're gonna go through it. We've been through some trauma, we've been through some stress, we've been through some troubles and some worries, we've been through some neglect and some mistreatment and some maltreatment, malnourishment, all that, judgment and shame, all that for one part of your body. Like if I felt that way regarding my breast, I would feel so bad. If I felt that way regarding my neck, I would feel so bad. So the fact that I judge this part of my body that's working so hard to bring me pleasure, to allow me to use the bathroom, all of these amazing things, I really just want to like take this year to honor my vulva, because I think that 2022 was a really rough year for me and my vulva, and 2023 we healed a little bit, but 2024 is like, okay, let's take this healing up a next level. So those are my tips. That's my story. That's my episode. I hope that you all enjoyed. Like I don't even know how to end this. I just feel so like, I feel so connected and so proud of myself. And so I hope that everybody can feel this feeling. If you have any other tips on how you take care of your yoni naturally, then feel free to let me know. I do want to note that I did say that I took like whatever she prescribed of me. So I'll go see what my OBGYN prescribed for me, like medication wise. When I found out that one that was a cranberry pill, that was helpful. It's like, okay, what more is this? But I'm just going to check out to see what other things she gave to me that I know like healed the UTI, it healed the BV, and now everything I'm doing right now is really maintaining my vaginal health. And I'm really grateful for that because I thought that it was going to come back immediately because I was so used to my reoccurring BV. Little did I know that if I had an OBGYN that knew what they were doing, they would know that it was the BV feeding the UTI and the UTI feeding the BV. So live and let me learn. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much, my little vulva. I really love you so much. And I hope that this episode helps so many people love themselves and their vulvas. Feel free to check out my hair and skincare line, Ethereal by Levitia. It's a self-care line, so I'm all about self-care and self-love. Feel free to check out ImaniJewelry.com. You can use the code Levitia to get 10% off of the most beautiful handmade jewelry ever. You already know Shops Adore. You can buy the book When Sex Hurts or buy sex toys and use the code Levitia to get 15% off. And last but not least, that's Besties. You can use the code Levitia to get 10% off. So treat your vulva today in some kind of way. Give it a kiss, give it a look, give it a hug, give it a something. And I love you all so much. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for next week's episode, which is going to be amazing. Love you.